Hey man, I just want to take a moment and reiterate the sentiment that Brother Bill said when he was up here. I do appreciate the worship leading this morning, Evan. Great job as usual, and we do need to encourage our brother Evan, because when he came, I'll just give you, we haven't really talked about him a whole lot from the pulpit, and he likes that part, and I'm going to change that today. But when he came, when we hired him to be the youth intern, see, Evan's getting a marketing degree from the University of David Lipscomb University, I guess. And so he's just really trying to decide and trying to hear God's voice and think, well, you know, does God want me to go into ministry as a vocation? I mean, we've talked a lot about that, and because Evan has a heart for ministry, he's got a heart for kids, and he's grown up in a great youth ministry in Knoxville, and been a part of a lot of things going on in Nashville, and so he's just really spending a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time trying to hear the voice of God, and I really respect that, and I admire that in a young man, and I think that we need to encourage him. That I believe with all my heart that God's saying loud and clear, marketing schmarketing. I mean, you are a great youth minister, and we are proud that you're here, and you're a great worship leader. And Bill is right that we get kind of a two for one with Evan, and that's good because we want to get our money's worth this summer. I have a poem that I want to start with. As you see throughout the slides this morning, the patriotic theme and the independence theme that we've got going on, and with 4th of July coming up, and I believe that's Friday, this coming Friday, 4th of July, and that is our Independence Day, the date that we declared our independence and as a country, more than 200 years ago. And so we really want to honor that. And I want to talk about that this morning. And the title of the sermon we're going to get to in just a minute is Let Freedom Ring. But this morning I want to read a poem before I start. It's called Old Glory. And it's by our brother Al Klaus, who's not here this morning, but he gave this to me a few months ago. And I wanted to share it with you this morning. And it's entitled Old Glory. Your symbolistic stars and stripes unfurled against the sky inspired the hearts of patriots to march away and die. And from the battlefields emerge the stories so profound of those who died to hold your colors off the bloodied ground. In awe, we've watched you come alive in breezes o'er the free and felt the pride swell up inside, oh precious liberty. Yea, allegiance pledge we now as in our childhood years. One nation under God we've paid with blood and sweat and tears. For every precious star and stripe we boldly now must stand and hold you high, for you still fly above our sacred land. You've waved above victorious troops 200 years and more. Now you face your greatest challenge as terrorists come ashore. You have been our nation's guiding light, a beacon in the world. Though this will be a different fight, you must remain unfurled. May we never cease to know your proud and hallowed story. For next to God, you're everything as we rally round Old Glory. And as you think about all of the history, all of the passion, you can't forget all of the sacrifice that has gone into what is, what I believe, is the greatest country, not in the world, but in the history of the world. And it's the greatest country in the history of the world because it's the only nation founded on God. It's the only nation. Yeah, it's the independence of this nation, the declaration, the desire to be and to live free is born in the hearts of men and women everywhere, and it's the desire that is universal. Everyone wants to be free, but it isn't the desire to be free alone that this country is built on. It is the desire to serve and to worship the true and living God. And that is what we should remember above everything else that we stand for and that we want to promote in this world, is that we are here as a beacon of light, not of liberty, not of freedom, not of capitalism, but of God and God alone. And for that, we should be thankful. For passionate, sacrificial, brave visionaries more than 200 years ago willing to lay down their lives so that you and I could know the true and living God. Not so that we could buy and sell freely. Not so that we could, you know, have the proper taxation and governmental bureaucracy, but so that we could know the true and living God. And this morning, as we look at our independence, we're going to be talking about letting freedom ring. Letting our freedom, the freedom that we have been afforded in this country, the freedom that we have been afforded in the church because of Jesus Christ, letting that ring not just in our songs and not just in our prayers, but in our very lives. Because it's one thing to talk about freedom. It's one thing to, on the inside and intellectually, appreciate the fact that we are free, but it is an entirely different thing to let it ring. And this morning, our challenge is to be people who let our freedom ring. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. There we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and there the prophet states, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." Now, let me just stop there and say, any time you read in Scripture and someone says, "the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord," or "thus saith the Lord," you need to pay real close attention to that, because that's really important stuff. What you're about to read, what you're about to hear is the truth. And it's important. He says this, "the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." Does that not sound like this great country that we live in? Does that not sound exactly like the gift that we have been given in the freedom and the liberty and the ability to live in this country? Does that not sound like what we do as a nation, that whenever there is tyranny in the world, whenever there's wrongs to be righted, whenever there is a need that someone faces, we are the ones that go and meet that need. Regardless of what the cost, regardless of the sacrifice, this country shows up. What I believe God wants is for His church to be that. Not leave it up to a nation or a government, but a church, a group of His people, anointed by His Holy Spirit, empowered by His courage and His power, that we can go into the world and we do those things. We say that, you know what? There's good news out there. You don't have to live oppressed. You don't have to live in fear. You can live free. Bind up the brokenhearted. Tell them of the better way and proclaim freedom to those captives, and to show that there is light instead of darkness. God's calling us to be that very beacon. You see, the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate in just a few days, it's a courageous statement of liberty from a common and overwhelming civil tyranny. There was a time before this nation was born where we were oppressed by tyranny. And men and women just like you and I said, no more. And they recognized that that freedom was worth fighting for, that freedom was worth living out, not just appreciating, but it was worth living out. And as Christians, we have our own such declaration, a declaration made by our Savior. And like the colonists of 1776, we too have been liberated from a common and overwhelming tyranny. But unlike those colonists, unlike those revolutionaries, we're not liberated. We haven't been liberated from a civic tyranny. We haven't been liberated from a civic oppression. We haven't been liberated from a political tyranny, but we have been liberated from a spiritual tyranny and oppression that has plagued mankind since the garden. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, we're told we've been set free. We've been set free from sin. Our declaration of independence from sin has been made for us on our behalf by our Savior. You see, sin is dependence on self. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we were free in the garden to live and to prosper and to do exactly what it was that we were made, that we were designed, that we were intended to do. We were free to depend on God. We were free to live as God intended us to live. And instead of that freedom, and instead of appreciating that and living that freedom, we depended upon ourselves. We wanted to make our own way in this world. We wanted to be our own. And that's when slavery started. That's when oppression reared its ugly head. And then the process of becoming free, free from something or someone, is a precious, precious thought born in the hearts of courageous visionaries. There are individuals as well as institutions that are worthy of being freed from. But as we think about those things that are worthy of being freed from, oppressive governments, oppressive people, sin, those are all things that are worthy of being freed from. The question quickly becomes, are we people worthy of being free? Are we people living a life worthy of what it takes to be who we are? Are we worthy of that? And we know that with freedom comes responsibility. There is no question, there is no escape that the freedom that we have, whether it's freedom civically, freedom as a country, or freedom in Christ, it comes with responsibility. We're not just given this and said, you know, do whatever you want to with it. It comes with a responsibility. The responsibility in the garden was to depend upon God, was to continue to trust Him, to continue to follow Him, and to continue to live free. But they didn't make that choice. They chose to live in slavery. They chose to live in slavery to sin. So this morning I want to look at the responsibility that each one of us has. The responsibility that we have not only as Americans to let our freedom ring, but more importantly, as Christians, to let our freedom in Christ, the freedom that was paid for, like our social freedom, like our civic freedom, it was paid in blood. The responsibility that we have is great. We have a responsibility to make the most of this freedom, to absolutely cherish it and make the most of it. Because if we don't do that, it will slowly and surely slip away. You see, more than I can count in the New Testament, we have examples of God telling us, live worthy. Live a life worthy of what you've been given. Take full advantage. Make the most of this freedom. Philippians chapter 1 and 27, we just got through going through the whole book of Philippians, and he says, live a life worthy of the good news. And he's not saying that you live up to paying for it. There's no way that we could repay the sacrifices made in this country. There's no way that we could go back. I mean, just pick one battle in the Revolutionary War. Just pick one. And all of those men and all of those people who died on that battlefield, there's no way that we as a society now can go back and repay those men, those families for what they lost. There's no way we can do it. So how do we live worthy of the freedom? I'm making the most of it. There's no way we can repay our Lord for giving us freedom in Christ. There's no way that we can earn what we have. So he says, live a life worthy of the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died. He lived for us a perfect life. He died on a cross. He was raised again. That's the gospel. That's it. That Jesus lived and he died and he rose again so that we can live free. You know how you live worthy of that good news? You're not afraid anymore. You stop trying to secure salvation for yourself. You trust God again. We go back to the garden and we depend upon God again. Live worthy of that good news. In Ephesians 4 and 1, he says, live worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of the calling that we've been given. Colossians 1 and 10, live a life worthy of the Lord. Live a life that glorifies God. And all that goes with that. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we doing that? Are we living a life worthy of the gospel? And what that means, do we make this look good? Do we make it look like it's supposed to look? Do we make this life look good? Anyone ever seen the movie Men in Black? Great movie. Will Smith. You know, he plays a government agent who tracks down and keeps contact with aliens. It's a pretty true to life movie. And by the title, they all wear black suits, black tie, black sunglasses. The men, they're the men in black who show up when you've seen a UFO. Maybe they've been at your house. I don't know. But whenever you see an alien, these guys show up and they all dress the same. And the older guy who's in the movie, he just looks like a normal guy. And so then Will Smith gets recruited and he puts on the suit. And he puts on the tie, he puts on the sunglasses and everything, and he's standing there with Tommy Lee Jones, the other guy, Tommy Lee says something to him like, well, now you look like the rest of us. And he says, no, I make this look good. You see, it's up to us as Christians to live the life worthy and to make it look good. You see, anybody out there can be a good person. Pay their taxes, don't beat their dog, get up, go to work, all that kind of stuff. But living a life worthy of the freedom that we've been given makes God look good. That's what he's calling us to do. We have a responsibility to make the most of this freedom. We also have a responsibility to maintain the freedom that we've been granted. You see, the greatest way, the most surefire way to lose the freedom that we have is not to use it. Not to take him up on his offer. Because when we don't use the freedom, when we don't take advantage of the freedom, when we don't live free, guess what we do? We fall back into oppression. We just let them go. You see, it's simple. Freedom can never be taken away. It can't. The fact of the matter is that you could install any government you want to, from the most oppressive Saddam Hussein regime in the Middle East to the most relaxed, government you want. And freedom cannot be taken from the hearts of men and women. It can't. You can live free no matter what the circumstances. Oh, there might be consequences. There might be a price to be paid for your action, but you can't take freedom from someone. It can only be given. It can only be given away. It can only be relinquished by those who are truly free. You see, in the first and second century, living a life worthy of the gospel, living the life that we're called to live, living the life worthy of God, the life that we want to live in the first and second century, in Palestine, in Rome, why, it was illegal. I mean, it wasn't unpopular. It wasn't, it wasn't a lot socially unacceptable. It was illegal. And you know what would happen to you if you lived free in Christ in first and second century Rome? You know what would happen? That you would get fined heavily. You'd get a ticket. You'd get talked about behind your back. No. You'd get killed. And not some real, fast, humane, killing. It was brutal. It was public. It was humiliating. And it was often. If you were suspected of being a Christian, if you chose to live free in an oppressive tyranny of a religious state, you were killed. And brave revolutionaries died by the thousands every day because they were free. Because they were free. They let their freedom in Christ ring from their lips, from their deaths. They maintained their freedom to the bitter end. Today, it's simply socially unacceptable and politically incorrect to let our freedom ring in a lot of settings in this country. Because it has been relinquished, we will allow our freedom in Christ to be robbed from us, not because we fear death, but because we fear the social stigma or maybe the job situation. Shane, as a boss at my company, I just can't talk to people about their spiritual life. It's just not acceptable. I could lose money here. Let your freedom ring. We have a responsibility to pass this freedom on to generations to come. That's the plan. That's the plan in any country where you want freedom socially to perpetuate, pass it on from generation. We raise our children, taking them to 4th of July picnic. We shoot off fireworks. We make them stand in school and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because it's so important. We want them to know. We teach them in school about all of the wars and all of the history and everything that went into the freedom and the country that is the greatest country in the history of mankind. We teach them the history. We want them to know. We want them to reproduce in them the freedom that we have in ourselves. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God shows us just how important it is to reproduce freedom in Christ from one generation to the next. In Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 14, and I encourage you to write that scripture down and go back and read it. I had planned to read the entire scripture, but in the event, in respecting everyone's time this morning, I just want to give you the highlights of it. What he says is, what God wants us to know is, he says, don't forget where you've come from. You've gone through the Red Sea. You've gone through all of these things. Remember how we got where we are. Teach your children. Remind them daily of the glory of the Lord. Remember what it took to be free. It took faith. It took sacrifice. It takes a commitment. It takes shouldering the responsibility to maintain freedom. We have a responsibility in this country to stay free. To be a beacon to the world, to show other societies, other social peoples, other nations, other countries, other groups of individuals within this world. We have a responsibility to show them there is a better way to live, and it is living free. The church shoulders that exact responsibility. But it has little to do. Little to do with economics. It has little to do with the right to vote. It has nothing to do with being able to go here or go there or not have curfews or any of those sort of things. It has everything to do with telling and living and showing everyone that we see that there is a better way. There is a free way to live. Not bound by social requirements, political stigmas, or the reality of economics that we live under. We're free from those things. Jesus has paved the way for us to throw off the yoke of tyranny, to throw off the oppression of what is or isn't socially acceptable or politically correct. And He died so that we can live free. This 4th of July, can we let our freedom ring? As we celebrate the birth of not a great nation, but the great nation, can we celebrate within each one of us the birth of not some good news, but the good news? Would you stand with me as we sing?